This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I should say host, but also realtors with Oakwind Realty in downtown Vancouver. And I am so excited for today because we are having Seva Roberts on the show. He is the owner of VancouverRentalGroup.ca. He is a property manager. He usually carries around 300 doors, so 300 rental units in the city of Vancouver. So Seva definitely knows his stuff. Super excited to have him on the show.
Yeah, it's great getting a breakdown of what's going on in the rental market right now. Because, you know, there's been a lot in the news about the Vancouver rental market and where prices are going and inventory is going. And Seva gives us the on-the-ground perspective. You probably, when you're listening to him, you got to think of the back of the bus, right? I mean, Seva, I think, is most famous as...
let's clarify this. Because...
Did that not come out? No?
No, I think he's got the bus ad on of the bus. and so there's let's clarify that. But I was driving behind Seva's face the other day.
It could be worse.
It could be worse. Good looking face. But no, generally speaking, yeah, you do see his ads all over. But good guy, definitely knows the market. There's a few questions that are some of my favorite that came out of this conversation. Of course, we cover everything in the rental market, but there's tips and takeaways for landlords. There's some tips for tenants, how to make yourself stand out. But I really love the where are the slowest pockets in Vancouver to own residential real estate.
Yeah, you know what?
Also, where are the hotspots?
Right.
And some hotspots you've never thought about.
It's funny that you say that because I feel like it was part of, we had like a tips show a million years ago for real estate investors going into markets that they didn't know. And one of the tips was immediately get a hold of a property manager to find out, you know, what's hot and what's not, as opposed to just talking to somebody who sells real estate, right? So Save is that guy. So it was great having him on.
And I should say, both of us use property managers now, and both of us have done our own rentals without property managers in the past. Would you ever go back?
You know what? I feel like for the value that they provide, it's like a no-brainer. It like doesn't actually make sense to do it yourself.
For me, the biggest thing was when I saw the addendum that was attached to the tenancy agreement. And I thought, oh, wow, I didn't think of that. And I didn't think of that. But I mean, generally speaking, way, way more thought out. I think a lot of people that are just using the residential tenancy agreement and not outlining expectation and rules around the property, I think there's a lot of probably missed opportunity to make sure that you're protecting your home.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that, you know, it's like in any aspect of life, right? Like he's dealing, you know, in this case, Seva is dealing with 300 different rental properties, different tenants, different problems. And at every point, he's improving his systems and he's been doing it for, a decade plus. So it makes sense that, you know, hiring somebody like Seva, you're like, all right, yeah. He knows a lot that I don't know.
Right.
And it's worth every penny.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, as these residential tenancy rules get more complicated, you really need somebody who's staying on top of things.
Absolutely. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
But before we get to that, Matt, of course, we have the MLA Newswire Weekly headline. Matt, what's the headline this week?
The headline this week, and it's just in time. Because, you know, there's two things that happen on Saturday. One, you turn 43 and BC decides their future.
Yes.
Which is more important? I don't know. I'm going to leave that up to the listener. But the headline this week is not about your birthday. Upcoming BC election. How is each party addressing housing? So the BC election is being held on October 19th. How is each party addressing housing issues? This is a non-exhaustive list of some of the most significant changes each party would make. So Adam, why don't you do BC Conservatives? I'll do BC NDP. And then we can decide on BC Green Party when we get there.
Okay, so here is the non-exhaustive list of some of the most significant changes coming to housing from the BC Conservatives. So one, you've got the Rustad rebate. I love that alliteration. $1,500 a month in certain housing-related costs, rent, strata mortgage, etc., will be exempt in income taxes. So that's the key there is $1,500 a month in certain housing-related costs will be exempt in income taxes. Two, faster housing approvals. He's making the case for 6 months for development rezoning permits and 3 months for building permits. Substantial improvement. Three, construction costs. He wants to remove taxes on construction costs by up to 40%.
Wow.
Four, DCCs, allowing DCCs to be paid upon completion, which I think makes a lot of sense. Rental. He's going to incentivize PBR via tax incentives. He's reversing Airbnb rules. He's repealing Bill 44, which allows multi-unit housing in single-family neighborhoods, but will introduce the Civic Infrastructure Renewal Fund. This is a $1 billion fund to municipalities whose zoning allows for small-scale multi-unit housing.
Okay, so that is the BC Conservatives. What are the changes, or the most significant changes, I should say, that the BC NDP will make? Well, first of all, the FTHB financing 40% of purchase price for new homes up to 25K. So that, we talked about that the other week, right? That's where the government's part owner of your home and is helping to get folks into the market. The speculation and vacancy tax, these will double. Okay, so the higher taxes when it comes to empty homes in the province. They'll prioritize housing on public land. They'll increase rental construction by waiving taxes. They'll increase non-market rental homes and fast-track construction on smaller multi-unit developments. So doubling down on Bill 44. The other thing is, Adam, allowing pets in all purpose-built rental buildings, which is important to some people.
Yes, definitely important to some people. And of course, Matt, last but not least, the BC Green Party. So again, a non-exhaustive list of some of the most significant changes coming to housing from the BC Green Party include increasing non-market housing and climate-proof housing, $100 million annually to a rental maintenance fund to maintain existing nonprofit and co-op housing. And they are planning to double existing provincial property taxes for homes above 3 million, 4 million, and 7 million. So good news for you, Matt. You dodged the tax.
I dodged the bullet again. So that was the MLA Newswire weekly headline, Adam. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the MLA Newswire, a daily email roundup of the latest real estate news and market insights. Visit mlacanada.com to subscribe now.
You know, with a quick breakdown like that on the housing policies of all parties, why would you not be on that list? But Matt, we are also sponsored by Scalina Real Estate.
Well, no kidding. I was thinking you'd already know all that we just said. Anyway, yeah, go on.
Exactly. And Matt, we are also, of course, sponsored by our real estate company, Scalina Real Estate. We are in Vancouver and selling a lot of real estate. And you can go look at it over at our website, VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
All our listings there.
Yes, all of our listings there, which super excited, including a one bed that just launched this week at Yaletown Park 1, which is 928 Homer Street. This is one of my favorite downtown buildings for, you know, whether you're an end user or an investor. This is also one of my favorite plans. It's a lot of downtown condos have that feel of being essentially like a slightly oversized hotel room. Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of more like exactly what you mean.
Yeah, and then you're kind of, if you're in the kitchen on the other side, like way, you know, it's a bit of a hallway down to like where the window to outside is. This is a different planet. It's most of your space kind of runs horizontal, and your kitchen is kind of in the middle of the unit, like right across from the windows, which is really beautiful. So it
sounds like an entertainer's dream.
Okay. Relax. It is an entertainer's dream, Matt. Thanks for saying that. No, generous outdoor space, really, really great one bed condo, and really terrific city views. And it's on the private side, so you don't have somebody staring in your window, which is really nice. I love Yale Town Park. I love those buildings. They're great. So if anyone's interested, it's on our site, 629.9. So 629.
What's the square footage?
520 with parking and storage.
I love it. That's VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. And while you're there, Adam, just click sell with us because you can download the sold plan. This is our most downloaded document of all time. And there's yes. a reason for it. It's great. Explain to the listeners what the sold plan stands for.
Yeah, Matt, it stands for start on launch date. So you pick launch date and it gives you step-by-step advice to get your home ready for market, to sell for top dollar in the shortest amount of time. We've had so many people download this document. It's great to keep around. We've also had a lot of agents download the document. We're happy to share. If you're in the industry and you want to have a look at it, feel free to sign up. Again, it's an instant download to your inbox. Matt, let's cut to this conversation though, because I really enjoyed talking to Seva, and there's a lot of good laughs, some really good takeaways. And no, it's just all around a fun conversation.
Absolutely. Enjoy.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that has been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it is also making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular, with 85% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one beds all the way to three bedroom homes remaining.
For a limited time, you can own a home at Elmwood with a 5% total deposit and 5% purchaser incentive.
Wow, now that's an incentive. Sales Gallery is closing soon for Elmwood. Don't miss your opportunity to own there. Learn more at marcon.ca/Elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Sohnhouse, Marcon's newest community that features a West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Sohnhouse offers 165 junior to three-bedroom homes in West Coquitlam that integrates nature into the built environment.
Register today at sohnhouse.marcon.ca. That's sohnhaus.marcon.ca. Or visit the display center at Outpost in Port Moody.
Marcon, building for life. Okay, so we're here with Seva Roberts. He is the team leader, property manager at Vancouver Rental Group. How are you doing, Seva?
Doing fantastic, boys. How are you guys doing?
Very well. Yeah, thanks for taking the time, Seva. It's we've been talking about having you on for a while. It's good to finally have you on.
For sure, 100%.
Seva, can you maybe start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
All right. Well, if you want the whole story or a quick whole story. So
the whole story.
I grew up on a small Gulf Island. So like a real small community. It's one of the jewels of British Columbia. It's called Hornby Island. So grew up there, had a very kind of fun outdoors life, lots of mountain biking, swimming in the beautiful beaches and ventures and stuff like that. And then I moved to the city when I was 9. And so, you know, grew up on the west side of Vancouver, graduated from Kitsilano High School, and, you know, various jobs along the way. And then basically somehow I landed into real estate back in 2004. And, right now I'm living over in the North Shore, kind of been hopping places in the North Shore, and yeah, I've been doing property management side of the business now for almost 11 years.
Right on. And you, most listeners will know you from the back of most buses in the city, I think.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Seva, I'm curious because, I mean, 2004 was an interesting time. You probably took about a year and a bit to kind of get up and running. And then you're facing the financial crisis not long after.
Yeah, it was very interesting because I started real estate in 2004. And, you know, for a beginner, I feel like I was doing pretty good. I was averaging a deal or two every month and I was getting everything going. And then after about 8 to 9 months, I decided one of my best buddies at the time is like, hey, I'm in Dubai and the city's taking off and you should come do some real estate out here and stuff like that. And he had lots of connections over there. And there was a bit of a dark rain cloud over my head in town for, you know, different reasons. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So I took off to Dubai and I sold real estate out there for, you know, just under a year. And then I had to come back to beautiful British Columbia, Vancouver, and started up my real estate career again. And yeah, and then, you know, I was rocking for a little bit. And then, yeah, 2008 happened and being a new realtor, not really going through many, you know, ups and downs in the economy, I thought the sky was falling. I thought it was over. I couldn't bring myself to, you know, get people to buy real estate. I thought it was going to keep going down. I was naive, you know, and it was tough. And during that time, I took up some side jobs while I was still doing real estate, just covering and paying the bills until I could get my head right. So, yeah.
And at that time, so you're actually selling real estate exclusively. What made you want to get into property management?
Well, you know, sales was always, you know, it's pouring in sometimes, and other times it's dry spells, you know. And property management is definitely more of a steady business. And a good buddy of mine at the time was like, "Hey, why don't you come work with me?" So I started with him and, you know, it worked great. And then we had a bit of a falling out and then I kind of did my own thing. But yeah, so that's kind of how I eventually got into property management. Is more of like naturally, you know, I really know how like the trades work and stuff like that. My dad was a carpenter, so I've done lots of side jobs with him. In my past, I've done some plumbing, I've done construction, I've done all these things, and I've flipped properties. When I was younger, I was flipping lots of properties and doing everything, most of the stuff myself, and installing bathtubs, tiles, all those things. So, you know, property management was pretty natural for me. But, you know, to circle back, it was more, you know, a recommendation from a buddy of mine. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Let's try it out. So that's how I started property management side 2013.
And what would you say like is the biggest difference between the two sides of the business?
Oh, well, they're kind of different beasts. There's some like things that are similar for sure. You know, taking care of clients and all that sort of stuff. But you know, sales is fantastic. It's great. Property management, it's not for everyone. You know, it can be a lot of stress, especially when you're starting out. When you're starting out and you've got your 20, 30 properties and you want to take your first vacation and, you know, maybe you don't have all your contacts sorted out and you need an appliance repair guy and your guy's away on vacation. You don't have your backup and you're like, you got a tenant freaking out and you're like, you know, so those are kind of your initial growing pains. So
it's like the reason why other people hire property managers.
Yeah.
To avoid that. And
yeah. So the big difference is with property management, there's just so many moving parts, you know, there's so many, you know, different hats that you have to wear, right? You're showing properties, you're inspecting properties, you're solving tenant issues. You're, you know, sometimes put on your lawyer hat almost where you're having to take tenants to Residential Tenancy Act, arbitration, all these different things. And then you got to know your accounting. And, you know, so there's many aspects to it. With sales, it's kind of, you know, a little bit more straightforward, depending on what kind of sales you're doing. right? I'm talking about more residential. Commercial, it's a different beast as well, but yeah.
And how is the rental market right now, Seva?
Yeah, rental market hasn't been this soft, I would say, since the pandemic kind of took a grip. Vancouver and the lower price rentals really took the biggest hit. And I'm seeing that kind of now. Like, we have well-priced properties and we're renting properties. We're getting the job done, but the overall demand is diminished immensely. Like, it's just like, where did everyone go? For, you know, one example is, I know why this is happening, right? There's a lot of factors at play. Obviously, with the federal government, putting a big stop on student visas and other situations, there's just a lot less people coming into the country. And the economy's not great. And, there's better opportunities for people out there. Usually, I'm getting a lot of phone calls, inquiries from my amazing, beautiful Irish brothers and sisters. There's been a lot coming to Vancouver, and they're awesome, you know? And this year I was like getting no calls. So I've, over the last couple months, of any Irish people I talked to, I rented a car the other day, and this guy was an Irish guy, and I'm like, hey, where'd you guys all go? And he's like, everyone's gone to Australia. There's way, like, business is booming. There's more opportunities. So, we're losing because the economy is soft and because of federal government's rules, demand is diminished, unfortunately. So it's softer.
Can you pinpoint when it started getting soft? Like, I feel like if you took your eye off the ball for the last little bit, you'd think, rents are going through the roof and the demand is insatiable. When in your mind were you like, hey, something's starting to feel different out there? Like, in the last 3 months or 6 months or the last year?
No. So, well, because you always have like seasons in the rental market, right? Your hot season is spring until early fall. Early fall, it starts to drop off. So last year, early fall, it had already started to slow down. And then this year, after, winter and spring's coming, and I'm like, when is this going to pick up? Where are all the people at? Where's the demand? And especially during the summer, which is hands down, it's always hot in the summer. It's when people, I guess, people just want to move at that time, right? It's just more people moving spaces and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just, so I really kind of understood the market is slower come spring, early summer. And
but you'd say it almost sounds like it's been now like pushing close to a year, right? Like if it was from last fall, it started slowing down.
For sure. Yeah, it's been slow for a year.
Seva, it seems to me like when I talk to people that are looking for rentals, they seem to feel like there are a lot of opportunities to rent a place right now. The flip side is when I talk to people that are putting their rental units on the market, they seem to think that they can ask any price. Is there a disconnect between renters and people that own rental stock right now?
I would say if people don't really have a full grasp of the market, then yeah, like, if someone was renting out a property a year ago or 2 years ago, the rental market was very hot and it was almost a little too hot. Prices kept going up and up and up. And we were like renting out one bedrooms, that would have rented for $2,500 for $3,000. And I'm like, this is almost like too expensive. This is like, I'm starting to feel bad here. It's like, you can afford, just like $3,000 for a one bedroom, like a pretty basic one, right? So yeah, it started to get a little out of hand there. But I would say overall, some landlords, they're just out of touch. So they'll have high prices and the market will say, hey, You know, you're not going to get applications. You're not going to get people knocking at the door if you're priced too high, especially in this market. Maybe if you have some special unicorn property asking a higher price, you might still get it. But again, that's not your average stuff, right?
And like when you say, so one beds that would be renting at 25 went to $3,000, where are they now? Are they back at 25 or is it 26, 27 or 22?
I would say probably for like a good one, like good one, good, really nice one bedrooms were renting for say almost three grand. Yeah, they've fallen off maybe 2,800. So a couple hundred bucks, even in the summertime. You know, normally in the summertime, you can rent your property for more. So strategically for, you know, realtors out there planning completion dates and stuff like that, don't ever get your client to complete if you don't have to, you know, in the winter time. Usually summer is going to be best, stuff like that. But yeah, this summer it was still quiet. So yeah.
Huh. Since you started in the last 10 years, has the, like, I'm kind of curious about the changing face of the city. You know, you mentioned international students, you know, obviously Canada's seen a ton of immigration. Has, in your mind, has the kind of average tenant profile changed over the course of the last decade since you've been in the property management business?
Definitely. You know, since I started, I would say, you know, 11 years ago, I was just getting started. So I wasn't really taking a snapshot of, you know, who's coming in, who's coming out. But, you know, after a few years, I saw, wow, during the summer, tons of Irish people coming through, lots of visual effects people, a lot of tech jobs, you know, and those were fantastic tenants. They got great, you know, great earning potential and usually made really good tenants. And then, you know, this year, I know Amazon laid off 30% of its staff. They started to do some hiring again, but, you know, that's a big tech sector job. And yeah, so I've seen kind of ebbs and flows of different kind of groups coming, but, you know, Vancouver is a melting pot and you got all sorts of demographics and people coming here for various reasons, but, you know, work permits are cut down a lot for international people coming here for work and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a lot of factors, but.
Hmm. How has the sentiment for landlords changed over time? And I guess thinking about like right now, like what are some of the challenges that you're dealing with, or what are some of, I guess, challenges that you're seeing for landlords in the market?
Well, you know, since we had the NDP government in, there's been so many changes, obviously completely leaning towards tenants' rights and, you know, fair enough. When I first started in the business, you could sign a lease that was a fixed term lease, right? So the tenant would have to be a good tenant for you to extend the lease, right? Now you're basically, you're signing a fixed term lease with the month tenant gets to continue month to month. It's harder and harder for landlords to use their own property to give a tenant notice. You know, you had some flexibility there. You could, you know, you could move back into your property and do some updates to it, or, you know, maybe let a friend move in because you wanted to use your property that way. Now that's out of the question. You know, your property is more given to the rights of the tenant, right? And if you want to take your property back, you want to move back into your property, you got to, you know, give, now it's, you know, 4 months notice, and you got to live there for a year. So a lot more challenges for landlords. And then for a property manager, it's just keeping up to date with all these new moving parts. But yeah, definitely there's, you know, when I first started in the business, it was just like, it was very smooth. It was great. And then, you know, so many new rules. So
mm-hmm. In your mind, have you seen a lot of kind of bad, yeah, on both sides, kind of people acting in bad faith, bad actors, whether it's tenants or landlords?
Oof, for sure. Like landlords, you know, essentially, usually, well, there's a lot of good-hearted landlords out there that are very fair. But there's some landlords that just think of themselves, obviously, and think of their bottom line. And yeah, there's some great tenants, and then there's some really nasty tenants as well. They're out there.
How many doors are you managing, Seva?
My whole group is around almost 300 doors.
Do you feel like you have that over that you've kind of dialed it into like a perfect gauge on people over the last decade?
Yeah, like I think the gut check is fantastic for sure, especially with myself, you know, but sometimes with staff, maybe they won't have the same kind of senses or whatever. So you got to really, you know, you can't be everywhere all the time, right? So yeah, it really comes down, like a credit score is fantastic because, you know, that shows someone's payment history. Are they, you know, slacking off and not being responsible? And it's going to show on your credit report. So that is crucial, you know. References, you know, on an application, it's usually their best friends or whatever. You never know. But a landlord reference can go a long way as well. And then, you know, and then doing some more research, going online, doing whatever you can to just really dive in and find out who is this person. And then that's how you really avoid having some nasty tenants, for sure.
But you're doing Google searches on everybody.
Well, I can't say all the searches and stuff I can, you know, we're doing, but we're doing a deep dive as much as possible, you know? Yeah, there's certain rules around like how far you can look into certain things and stuff like that. So,
okay.
You know, but yeah. So we do, you know, as much as possible, put it that way, to, you know, and it makes your life easier. Just putting in that extra time, not rushing to sign a lease and to get a deposit, you know, do your due diligence. If you select a good tenant, yeah, it's just, you know, way less headaches and, makes everyone's life easier.
Hey everyone, pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting. Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakwin Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakwin, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakwin.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.
What can a tenant do, in your opinion, to make them stand out for the right reasons when applying for a place?
Yeah, I think it's really great. You know, some people, they'll write a quick paragraph, maybe attach some photos and, you know, maybe have a credit score ready to go. And, you know, just being prepared, I think it's like a good sign. So, you know, and I see a lot of tenants doing that. So I think that's something you could do, is just put together almost like a little profile if you really like a property after you viewed it, even though you're submitting an application, you can submit all those things as well. Provide a copy of your driver's license. You know, I think that's, those are good steps to take.
Where's the best place to look for rentals, in your opinion?
Wait, you mean from like a tenant?
From a tenant perspective.
Yeah, well,
because I mean that we get this question all the time, and I feel like Craigslist is
Mean
a lot of scams and
filled with scams for sure. Yeah. You know, when I first started in the business, Craigslist was it. You know, everyone marketed on Craigslist, and now Craigslist is probably maybe third place, maybe fourth place. I would say, you know, a lot of people are enjoying Zumper, just kind of affiliated with PadMapper, PadMapper, Zumper. And then you got Facebook Marketplace. You have another company that came to the scene maybe, I can't even remember now. Time is like so warped after COVID, but like, but I feel like Liv.Rent, LIV.Rent is a company that kind of came out and, you know, did some heavy SEO and definitely got their foothold in the market. Yeah. So,
which is the top right now? Like Facebook Marketplace, would you say? Or
I don't know. I probably say Zumper. Yeah.
Do you actually put stuff on MLS? It's like such a strange
thing. I did when it first started. I wanted to try it out, obviously. And, you know, it's a little bit more paperwork and stuff like that, which we didn't mind. If we can help market a client's property, we'll do what it takes. But we weren't really getting a good response from it. It hadn't really taken traction yet. So I know there's still a few people out there that use it. We don't right now, just because we're not getting the results. Just like another website is Kijiji. You know, a lot of people in Calgary and Toronto and stuff like that, they'll use that website, but out here, no one really uses it to search for properties. So there's certain, you know, sites that you just don't get good results from. So why put energy and time into them?
And it's regional too, right? And I think that makes a lot of sense. In thinking about weak spots in the market for potential landlords, like, is there a price band that seems more challenging right now than others? Like, where's like the most activity and maybe the least activity in terms of price bands?
Or can you put it into properties? Like, what is, if I came to you with a property and it, in your mind, it was like the worst type of property to try and rent right now, what would it be and what price point would it be?
Okay, so the worst property is, say, like a $20 million furnished mansion, you know, that someone wants to rent for like, you know, 50 to 80 grand a month. Forget it. There's not many people out there looking for that. You know what I mean? So that's a challenge. And, you know, we've had product like that. And, you know, sometimes you get lucky and most of the time you don't. But furnished properties were very hot for a long time, especially kind of after the Olympics, and it kind of continued for a while. And then, I don't know, a furnished product, especially over the last couple of years, hasn't been strong. You know, depending on what your goals and needs are, I would always try and go unfurnished, especially if you're looking to rent out longer term. It's just overall a lot more demand. And then obviously for price point on the other spectrum, like if you have a very cheap property, like, and it's a nice price, it's affordable price, you're usually going to have a lot of demand. But I would say the sweet spot is probably, you know, anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000. It's kind of the sweet spot per month.
Which areas are you, maybe the same question.
Sure.
Like if you said, man, best location to get a renter immediately, and then maybe even in the city of Vancouver, like the most challenging spots.
Sure. So
I feel like I know the most challenging spots, but
okay. We should take guesses before.
Sure.
Well, let's do the most popular area first.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, some of the most popular rentals that we've had are like lofts in Mount Pleasant.
Wow.
Like a cool loft, man, we've had lineups of people in bidding wars. You know, we've had like so many applications, you can't even look at them all. So, And that's during a strong market.
So unique properties are
a sexy New York style loft.
Yeah. So a loft is definitely, you know, there's not many of them. They definitely command a higher price. You're going to pay a bit of a premium for one, but not hard to rent out. People like cool properties, you know. It's not going to be their forever home, but when they're maybe a young business person or something, still having some fun in their life, entertaining, oh, come over to my cool loft, you know. Yeah, it's not conducive with having like four kids like myself, and, you know. But yeah, and then I could tell you which area I find is really soft, but I'll let you guys guess first.
Well, you know what? And just to continue on with the popular spots. So would you say take the property out of it, Mount Pleasant, or like, what's Mount the best Pleasant, location?
Mount Pleasant is strong. Our Fairview Slopes has always been pretty strong. It's a nice little pocket. You got Kitsilano, hit or miss UBC. If it's UBC can be really hot, if it's just before a semester starting or something like that. Lower Lonsdale, North Vancouver, very hot at times. If you have a well-priced home in the North Shore, Kitsilano, like a house, North Van, if you have a nice house, a decent house priced, you know, $5,000 to $7,000, that's going to move pretty quick. If you have a nice house on the west side, you know, more, I would say, north of 41st, a lot more demand for, you know, prices, properties priced 6,500 to 9,000. Yeah. So those are some stronger kind of pockets.
All right. Now moving on to the opposite.
The week. Yes. Are we talking about the city of Vancouver, Matt, or are we moving to Metro Vancouver?
Well, I was going to say, Seva, we never really, at the start, we should have established, because you're primarily in the city of Vancouver, surrounding areas. You're not doing stuff in
Langley's too far for us. We don't have an extension there. We do have a new team member who's covering Squamish and stuff like that, which is kind of fun, Whistler and Squamish. But right now, yeah, we don't have anyone really going out to Langley. We do, for certain clients, we'll go to like Surrey and Coquitlam and Richmond and Burnaby. Those are regular places that we'll, you know, manage and rent out properties for clients. But mostly I've been talking about just kind of like Vancouver and the North Shore a little bit. And, you know, a soft spot in Vancouver.
Hold on. Don't say it. Adam's going to take a guess.
I'm waiting for you guys. So.
Okay. So yeah, city of Vancouver.
I'm going to say the soft spot is, I'm going to say Killarney.
Killarney.
I'm going to say Southeast Vancouver, but south, like south. Like, so
wait.
You hit it. Sorry.
Yeah. But wait, what about the River District? When you say I'm not talking River.
River District's a gem amongst them.
You're more hot. Yeah. Seriously, the River District, you'd be surprised.
Wow.
It is slow. It is quiet. Sometimes you get lucky, but honestly, Southeast and some of Southwest in Vancouver, it's quiet. The demand is it's not really there. So if you want to buy an investment property there, I wouldn't do it. I'd spend a little bit more money.
And in your experience, like, River District is slow, but down the road in Burnaby into Metrotown, it's hopping?
You know, some pockets of Burnaby are really hot for sure. Like Brentwood area is, they're getting high rents.
I was going to say they're like similar to downtown, right? If not. Sometimes higher, I guess, newer stuff.
For sure. Yeah, sometimes, depending where downtown you are. You know, downtown isn't as hot as it once was, you know, after COVID.
Is downtown getting challenging, or is there still a large appetite?
For rentals, I would say it's gotten a little softer, for sure.
And is it getting worse, or is it getting better right now?
I wouldn't say it's getting much better. I would say it was pretty strong rental market. You know, this is my opinion. This isn't factual information, but in my opinion, the rental market downtown was pretty strong. COVID happened. You know, people are lining up. to go to their elevator to get up to the unit. Lineups outside the building. You know, people wanted townhouses, people wanted duplexes, people wanted houses, people just wanted to maybe get into a small apartment building, just get out of downtown. And obviously the drug and the homeless problem really, it expanded all over downtown. So that was also a factor for people not wanting to live there. So, you know, and I would say downtown hasn't gotten better with some of those items. So yeah, I would say the market, it's still a rental market for sure. It's still decent, but it's not as strong as it once was.
Is there a surprising hotspot that maybe people don't think of that you might, you know, add? You know, everybody would probably guess Kits, sure, and Fairview and downtown, et cetera. But is there a surprising hotspot?
Well, there's a decent hotspot in around downtown. It's not Gastown right now, but west of Denman. It's a nice little pocket there. People, yeah. You're right by Stanley Park. So if you can pick up a rental property there, west of Denman, it's pretty easy to rent out properties. People, you know, especially tennis enthusiasts or whatever, that, you know, you got the courts right there, you got the seawall, and it's quiet, right? So right. That's a nice little pocket downtown.
I was just going to say, everybody I know that's ever lived west of Denman, I don't think it seems to ever leave. Right? Like they're almost lifers there.
Yeah. So it's tough to, you know, properties kind of come up for sale and they usually move pretty quick, and same with rentals. So, yeah.
What about, a concern, and I don't know if it's a concern or not, but a concern you always hear in the market is you got like a building, like right now, I think Gilmore Place is just completing and you're going to see a lot of units probably come onto the rental market in Burnaby, but think about like Brentwood, right? When you have a few towers completing at the same time.
Yeah.
What does that do?
Pier West and New West is doing.
Or so. Yeah, right now as well, right? So, I mean, you have like in terms of absorption, like how do you, I'm guessing a lot of people reach out during that time looking to rent their place. Is there a strategy that people can take on, or do you want to, is that a time to cut price, or is that a...
Well, you're kind of like... You're going to have a whole bunch of people hitting the rental market at the same time, right? Because you got investors that are buying into these buildings. And then everyone's going to start with a high price. And then if properties aren't renting, then people, you know, your neighbor's going to drop his price from $2,800 to $2,700. And then, you know, people reach a point where they're not going to go much lower because it just doesn't make sense. So they'll hold on as long as possible. But yeah, in a hot market, you're going to look at the comparables in the building, and some people are going to try and get a little bit more. In a soft market, unfortunately, sometimes you got to kind of lower your rate, lower the rental rate to attract a tenant. So, you know, in a market like we have today, that's definitely a little bit more challenging. So people that want to rent out their place right away, you got to have an attractive price.
Are you, and now I feel like I'm just thinking about things that I've come across lately, but one I've been increasingly hearing about, and I don't know if this is just, you know, obviously we're realtors working in a market where often when you have a buyer wanting to move in, it's a tenanted unit. So we're providing notice a lot of the time. So we're kind of on the front lines of where tenants are getting, unfortunately, the notice that a buyer's bought the home to move in themselves.
Yeah.
But it seems like increasingly tenants are challenging those notices and going to the residential tenancy board. It's like there's an undercurrent right now that seems like that's increasingly becoming the norm. Is that what, are you seeing that at all? Or is that just like the horror stories you hear in the real estate community?
Yeah. Fortunately for me, that's a horror story. You know, I haven't had that happen. And you know, the sales that I've done, it's been pretty seamless. And with my properties that have sold, maybe it was like a different realtor representing those properties or whatever, it hasn't happened. So I'm fortunate to say, you know, that hasn't happened for myself, but definitely, you know, tenants that are well read into the act and, you know, might not be the kindest, or definitely try and take advantage of whatever they can, or to give themselves more time, or
So it happens.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. I just haven't seen it personally. But I'm sure it does.
You know what though? But if you have 300 doors, that's still a pretty positive that you're not dealing with. I was thinking you might say, oh yeah, this is increasingly a challenge that we're facing all the time, but it doesn't sound like that's the case.
Not a challenge for me. Knock on wood. So we're
you're a big guy though.
We've been pretty lucky. Yeah. Well. Yeah. If only the world would work that way, but obviously it doesn't.
I know we've kept you now here for coming up on, for almost 45 minutes here, Seva. So maybe just one question that I have, and Matt, I don't know if you have any more questions, but your best piece of advice for landlords right now?
Well, if you're not hiring a property manager and you're going at it yourself, I would call a company that does great photos, get some nice photos done for your property. Because people are so visual. Everyone's, you know, staring at their phones all day, Instagram, all this stuff, right? Social media. And if you have, you know, crummy pictures from your phone, don't highlight the space or the property, people will skip past. So that, I would say, is a key tip for people going at it themselves. You know, get great photos of your property. And then, you know, market on all the websites you can. You know, go on to all the sites we mentioned before, but, you know, Zumper, PadMapper, RentBoard, Rentals.ca, Live.Rent, Facebook Marketplace. You know, there's a lot of different sites out there. Look them up and put in the time and, you know, post ads. And then be quick to respond to leads, because those leads can, you know, they're not just tied to your property. They're out there scrambling, trying to find a space. And, you know, if another one comes up, they're not waiting for yours. So you got to act quickly as well. That's important.
Great advice. You know, I had a question I was thinking of before we started to finish, because we usually ask it about the real estate market. But I guess this is a challenging question to ask of the rental market, especially after, you know, the point that usually you're seasonally slowing down at this point anyway.
Sure.
But do you know, presumably, like, are there any green shoots in your mind right now? Is there any signs that, like, hey, next year's going to be, or, you know, that the rental market's going to pick up and it's getting stronger? Or right now, are you like, hey, listen, it's October. It usually doesn't get busy till February, March. So it's tough to say.
Well, there's a couple of factors that you can be optimistic about. One of them is we have a provincial election coming up in a couple of days. So people got to get out and vote for that. And that can bring some great change. I'm not going to mention the party, but I'm sure you guys can guess which party would bring some great change and maybe some stimulus to the economy, maybe some new jobs and stuff like that. That will be fantastic, as well as interest rates, you know, looking like they're coming down. Hopefully, October 23rd, we get some good news again, maybe 50 basis points. And again, anything that increases the economy. And Vancouver's a resilient market. It's just unbelievable how many ups and downs, how many wrenches have gone into the engine, but it just keeps going along. So, you know, a soft market's not going to last forever. And I feel like come spring, summer, we should have a decent rental market again. That would be my optimistic outlook. So, yeah.
Hey, it's not, like talking Seva 2008 here. Don't believe the doom. No. Don't get into the doom loop.
The sky's not falling. No, the sun's coming out. Golden years ahead.
Seva, we do have this segment called the Five Wire, five lighthearted questions that we end every show with. Can you stick around for that?
Yeah, of course.
This podcast is brought to you by Spark, the new development sales and marketing platform.
Adam, the stakes have never been higher for launching a condo project, and today's developers and brokerage teams need to leverage the best tools in order to hit their financing thresholds and to sell out their projects.
Spark is an all-in-one sales and marketing software that includes a comprehensive CRM, inventory management, email marketing, and digital contracts. These tools are custom tailored to the pre-sale process to help you capture leads, increase inventory yield, and transact contracts seamlessly.
And here's the best part, Adam. Spark's team is headquartered right here in Yale Town, and they have over 10 years of experience in helping BC-based developers and brokers bring their projects to market.
So if you're selling a new development, you need to check out Spark at spark.re/VREP. That's spark.re/VREP. And remember, Matt, you can't light the pre-sale world on fire without a spark.
All right. So question number one is one book recommendation for our listeners.
Lots of amazing books out there. One that I've kind of I've read recently that's pretty good is Atomic Habits. And it really just touches on making small shifts in your life or in your business or in your health, right? And those small little decisions or shifts that you're taking have a big effect. They start to accumulate and make a big effect. So Atomic Habits, check it out. It's a great book. Yeah.
You're preaching to at least Adam is a, you're a,
I feel like that's a convert. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's a, it's funny. It's one of the most recommended books I think on our show too. And,
seriously.
Yeah, but it's, no, but I think it speaks to the fact that I think, the logic of small incremental changes having a huge impact is one that resonates with people in our audience. So,
yeah.
And our industry. So,
well, for sure. You know, a lot of the times you're looking for this big, fantastic thing to just take you to this huge level and all these amazing ideas, but it's like, no, like show up, maybe come to work half an hour earlier, maybe deal with all your emails ready. Maybe you can start making your client calls, like just these little shifts, you know, 10 extra minutes of working or what can make a big difference, right? Making that extra call or whatever it is for you. Yeah, for sure.
Fantastic. In the past few years, what new belief, behavior, or habit, I guess this speaks to Atomic Habits, but maybe we'll get specific for you, Seva, has most improved your life?
Well, since I was 16, you know, I started like lifting weights and stuff like that. And it's always been kind of hit or miss and hard to having kids and this and that. And it's hard to kind of stay steady with that. But over the last year, it's been pretty steady. That's definitely a great kind of habit that's improved and gotten better. And just keeping on track has been fantastic doing that.
Nice. What have you been binge watching lately or a movie recommendation?
Wow. So... don't have time to watch movies really, but I do keep watching what's going on in the United States politics. Man, it's entertaining. you can't even have a movie that's as good as this stuff. It's wild, you know. So keeping up to date with all the politics and stuff like that has been definitely entertaining. So different podcasts and stuff like that. So
Seva, I think we all got the sense of, you know, you're hoping for change, but maybe two predictions. One, who's winning the BC provincial election and who's winning in November in the US?
Oh, I don't want to say it's
maybe just the US then.
No, we're not going to.
Okay, we'll get the province as well.
I might get in trouble if I say who I want to win in the US, but for BC, I want the Conservatives to win. You know, I feel like they have a common sense plan. I feel like federally, if we can get Trudeau out, that would be a beautiful thing. Music to everyone's ears. But that can't come soon enough. But yeah, so provincially, let's go Conservatives. And in the States, I don't want to get myself into trouble here too much. So we'll just leave it out.
I guess we'll know. Actually, it's funny, but this episode's going out today. But okay. We actually we'll know on Saturday night, I guess, province. And the only thing I was thinking about, and I guess you could take this different ways, but the voter turnout, the preliminary early voting numbers, according to Election BC, were like the highest that they've been. I don't know if it was record or I think it was about, 50,000 more kind of early votes than last election, at least.
Are you suggesting fraud?
No, I'm suggesting that. Does that tell us, one person I had dinner with said, oh, that feels blue wave to me, but
Well, when things swing way too far to, socialist craziness, here's free crack pipes in the hospital and stuff like that. And let's do drugs in a hospital, right? Beside a lady that's like giving birth or something, Yeah, things need to change. There needs to be change, right? So it needs to be a little bit of balance. And I feel like people obviously are fed up with a lot of the stuff that's going on, and people will make a choice with their vote, what they want to see going forward.
I guess we'll see what happens Saturday night.
Yeah.
So save a favorite band or music when you're crossing that bridge from the North Shore. What are you listening to these days?
I'm not listening to music really too much these days. It's more like just what's going on with the politics and stuff like that. But it depends on what's going on. I love electronic music, house music, stuff like that. And started to dabble a little bit into country, which is funny. I've never really liked country, but Zach Bryan seems to be pretty good, pretty chill stuff. And when we're cooking dinner with the family, we get the Gypsy Kings rocking and, have some fun. But it really depends on what's going on, what kind of music,
Nice, nice. And last but not least, something you have bought for under $1,500 that has had a positive impact on your life.
I don't know if there's something under $1,500 that's really made a shift, but working out at Fitness World and, great gym, but man, it's gone downhill. There's like ferns growing out of the windows and no cleaning staff, and you can't even get like a paper towel to dry your hand. And all of a sudden, a friend of mine, a realtor, is like, hey, there's a great new gym called Altea right at 6th and Yukon behind the cop station there. And I signed up, $250 a month, but oh man, you walk in there, it smells like a spa, you use towels, it's just beautiful. And that's definitely made me enjoy my fitness routine a little bit more. So,
also, if you need a realtor at Altea, there's about 100 of them always hanging around.
I know. 100%. 100%. I'm bumping into people all the time. It's pretty funny, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, Seva, how can people find out more about what you're up to, or of course, get in touch if they have a property that they want to put on the rental market?
Sure. Well, I would just direct people to my website, which is VancouverRentalGroup.ca. So www.VancouverRentalGroup.ca. Or you can just call me directly at 604-537-4399.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much again for your time, Seva. That was great.
Yeah, real pleasure, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on, and enjoy the day. Take care.
So there you have it, folks. Our discussion with Seva Roberts, licensed property manager at Vancouver Rental Group. That's VancouverRentalGroup.ca.
Always great having a chat with Seva. Tons of great takeaways, and gotta say, I'm batting like 1,000 here on the trivia questions on this show. You may have realized, Matt, but
you kind of
Vancouver. That was
You know what? I was kind of thinking the same thing.
Yeah,
right after you said it.
Well, anyways, So what else do we got for the day before we cut?
All we got for the day right now is get out and vote. The election's in 2 days. So everybody should vote. And we also have our website. That's VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com for all things real estate related, including the LiveWire. This is our weekly mailer where you're getting stats, different types of stats, sales ratios, where you can dig into price bands, different markets, sub-markets. It's fantastic. We have deal of the month. We have VIP access to pre-sales. We also have, of course, tried and true private client services.
Yeah, Matt. And if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information for free, available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. What a time to be monitoring the market. You should sign up for your own free account today and get listings. It's listings management software with more information than you typically get. Why not have an account? Matt, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch?
Anytime, try me at 778-847-2854 or matt@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And of course, we got that Kokomo line, info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but seriously, get out and vote. It's probably your last chance to do so. And I love that the voting numbers were up in the early days of advanced voting. So let's hopefully we get a great turnout. And if you listen to the show, you're clearly invested in the city like we are, and your vote matters.
Absolutely. I guess next week we'll have the results, and we will be back next week, of course. Take care.
Have a great week.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.